Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of his imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, as we begin our study in this month in which we celebrate the first coming of Jesus Christ, which of course is the Christmas story, I want to spend some time looking at some of the interesting facts and details related to this Christmas story. This is a special time of the year. I love this time of the year, as many others do as well. So we're going to spend some time looking into all the details surrounding the first coming of Jesus Christ, which basically sets the stage for the second coming as well. If you will, take your Bibles and let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 5.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
As we begin our Bible study this month, I thought it would be very interesting to focus on the season in which we are living. This is one of the greatest times of the year for many of us. I love the Christmas season. Well, we want to spend a couple of weeks looking at some very interesting facts, some details related to the Christmas story. For example, this time we're going to look at how John the Baptist has a real connection to the Christmas story. This will amaze you as we consider the prophetic word of God as it relates to the coming not only of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, but to the forerunner. That would be John the Baptist, had the Jewish people believed. More on that in just a few moments. By the way, we're going to talk next time we get together about how did we get the 25th day of December to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Is it a possibility that Christ could have been born in the winter time there in the shepherd's fields just outside of Bethlehem? Many have questioned the possibility of those little shepherd boys watching over those sheep at night during those cold winter nights in Bethlehem in December, and many have speculated that it was probably sometime in the summer that Jesus Christ was born. Well, we'll look at the December 25th date and how that came about. It was the early church fathers who decided on that date, and I'll tell you why. And there's an interesting connection with Jesus Christ as it relates to that date as well. And then we'll further look into the fact, could it have been in the wintertime? And what about those shepherds? Were they really little 14 or 15-year-old boys there in the fields outside of Bethlehem? Or were they grown men? And if they were grown men, why did they have to be grown men? Well, we'll look into that as well. Some of the details, some of the facts surrounding the Christmas story. And finally, on Christmas Eve, we'll spend some time studying the Word of God to determine exactly the location of where Christ was born. And why was it that when the angels said, "This will be a sign unto you," these shepherds went with haste to the exact place where Jesus Christ would be born? And in fact, if you had studied the Old Testament, it was not only Bethlehem that was significant, but it was a special place in Bethlehem that the Messiah had to be born. You know, it's very interesting that in the Bible, there are only 168 verses that deal with the birth of Jesus Christ. That's found in four chapters of the Bible, Matthew chapters 1 and 2, and Luke chapters 1 and 2. 168 verses, not a lot of space allotted to the birth, the most magnificent birth in all of history, the birth, the coming of the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. We're going to start our study today in the book of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 5. Zacharias, who would be the father of John the Baptist, who we're going to focus on in our study, was a priest serving in the temple. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, we see that in the days of Herod, the king of Judah, now that means it had to be around 4 BC. Remember, Herod died in 4 BC. Jesus Christ was born before Herod died. And so we're talking about 4 BC, the birth date of Jesus Christ, almost 2,000 years ago. But in the days of Herod, there was a priest, a certain priest called Zacharias. And notice in verse 5, it says he was of the course of Abia, and his wife was a daughter of Aaron. That means she was a part of the priestly tribe, the tribe of Levi. Her name was Elizabeth. But by the way, they had no children. because Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. In other words, they were an older couple. And Zacharias went to serve at the temple, and he had the unique privilege of being selected by lot, by the casting of the lot, to be the one who would take the incense and pour them on the altar of incense. Now, this altar of incense would be right before the veil of the temple, and Zacharias would go and get some hot coals, put them on the altar of incense, and then come and very gently allow these incense to fall from his hands onto the burning coals, which would then send smoke up through the 21-story-high building, out the hole in the roof, and towards the heavenlies. This was symbolic of the prayers being offered up by the Jewish people. However, while that was happening, the angel Gabriel, an archangel, appeared to Zacharias, and he gave Zacharias a prophecy that he and Elizabeth were going to have a son. They were to call him John, and he would be the forerunner of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Well, Zacharias was taken back by this. You know, he really did not think that was possible since his wife had been barren all of her life. He didn't think that at her age she'd be able to have a child. Well, because of his unbelief, the angel Gabriel made Zacharias dumb. Not dumb stupid, but dumb can't talk. And in fact, the angel said, you'll not be able to talk until the eighth day in the life of your son when you bring him to the temple for his circumcision. Zacharias finished his priestly responsibilities, the text tells us, as you read chapter 1 of the book of Luke. And in verse 33 it says, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his administration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Now remember, he lived in Carim, which is out to the west of the Temple Mount, about 7 miles. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and she was ready to bring forth a child in fulfillment of what the angel Gabriel had told Zacharias would happen. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 57, gives us the record of the birth of this son, who would be a cousin to the Messiah, Jesus Christ, but would have a very unique role in the ministry of God-man here on the earth. After John was born on the eighth day, his mother and father, Zacharias and Elizabeth, brought him to the temple, as was the custom, for the circumcision service that would take place. And at that point in time, the mouth of Zacharias the priest was loosed, and he spoke and he praised God. But in addition to praising God, he gave a prophecy about what would happen. Verse 76, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. What a prophecy. Here was John to be the forerunner for his cousin Jesus Christ, the Messiah, God-man, Emmanuel, coming to earth. You know, there is an Old Testament prophecy that foretold there would be a forerunner to the Messiah, and in fact, the one spoken of, a prophet by the name of Elijah, had to appear and be the forerunner for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ would have not been the Messiah. I'm referring to the prophecy in Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5, where it says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That's a prophecy that indeed could have been fulfilled in John the Baptist. And I make that statement based upon what Jesus Christ said. In Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 11, Jesus said unto all those listening to him teach, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. That's verse 11. Verse 14 says, and if you will receive him, this is Elijah, which was for to come. Indeed, John the Baptist, according to the words of Jesus Christ, could have been the forerunner called for by the ancient Jewish prophets. However, the Jewish people not only rejected John the Baptist, they rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ, as well. But that prophecy will be fulfilled in the future. John the Baptist had to be involved in the ministry of Jesus Christ at the first coming. John, the cousin of Jesus, would play a key role in the Christmas story, one of the unique prophecies of the first coming, of which there are over 300. Now, that is unique in itself, that one man, Jesus Christ, fulfilled over 300 prophecies about the man who would come to be the Messiah. And of course, those prophecies were all fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Had the Jews believed, John the Baptist could have been the Elijah of Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. But that means Elijah still must come. There's a song that's very popular. We're living in the days of Elijah. I believe as you look at the prophecies surrounding the second coming of Jesus Christ, we have the evidence that we're quickly approaching the time when Elijah will appear before that great and dreadful day of the Lord, fulfilling the prophecy of Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. You see, at the first coming, Jesus Christ fulfilled all of the prophecies that foretold a Messiah would come to the earth. Now that's key, because that gives us then a foundation upon which we can have assurance that all of those prophecies yet to be fulfilled will be fulfilled just exactly like they were given in absolute detail. Remember, John the Baptist was the one to be the forerunner at the first coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And Elijah will fulfill that second coming prophecy. He will come on the scene before the great and dreadful day of the Lord. We're speaking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And as you look at the scenario that's going to unfold in the end times, as we're thinking about the Christmas story and how all of those prophecies were fulfilled, remember there are five times as many prophecies about the second coming of Christ, and those have to be fulfilled in absolute detail as well. But again, I remind you, the fulfillment by Jesus Christ of all the prophecies focusing on the first coming give us the evidence that the second coming will happen exactly like the Bible tells us it will take place. In chapter 4 and verse 1 of Revelation, it talks about an event that will happen before the tribulation period and the return of Christ will take place, and that is the rapture of the church. When Jesus shouts, the archangel shouts, and the trump of God sounds, and we're caught up to be with him in the air forevermore. You know, as we celebrate the first coming of Jesus Christ, it gives us solid evidence that the prophecies for the second coming will be fulfilled as well. And I do believe, as we look at all that's happening in our world today and compare it to Bible prophecy, those prophecies for the second coming could be fulfilled in the very near future. As I said several times in our study today, that first coming of Jesus Christ and the fulfillment of all of the prophecies surrounding the birth of God-man, Emmanuel, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, all of those prophecies were fulfilled in the absolute detail that they were given by the ancient Jewish prophets. There are five times as many prophecies about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the Christmas story, which is a record of the fulfillment of all of those prophecies surrounding the first coming of Christ, give us a foundation upon which we then can be assured that the second coming will happen just exactly as he has told us. This should cause all of us to consider the claims of Jesus Christ, who said he was the Messiah, and through him we could have a relationship with his Father, and not only for now, but forever. Next week on the broadcast, we're going to discuss the issue of the date that we celebrate the birth of Christ, December the 25th. I think this will be of great interest to you. Hope you can join us when we come together for our study next week. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...